This is A Record from KUOW. I'm Jeannie Yandel in for Bill Radke. I have a question for you. Are you one of those people who can hum a tune but have absolutely no musical ability? I am also one of those people, and now there is an instrument for us. It's called the encephalophone, and it's the creation of Dr. Thomas Duell. He's an experimental musician, neuroscientist, and neurologist, and his instrument uses only your brain waves to play musical notes. Bill Radke went to visit him at the University of Washington to try out the encephalophone himself.
I have so many questions for you, doctor. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to ask you standing up or wired up, sitting in your lab chair?
Just logistically, it might make more sense to get you wired up because it's going to take a little while, along with the cap, which has 19 electrodes. There are three other electrodes, one on each ear and then one on your forehead.
Okay.
And they need to be gelled, so you're going to get gel in your hair. I just want to warn you, it's non-toxic. It washes out, but you'll get a little bit of gel in there.
All right. I can have gel in my hair. It's for science. It's for medical research. Okay, so I'm sitting in your low and comfy high back chair.
So the chair it's a particular chair. Reclining and having you relaxed is the best way to get the best data. The EEG is a very sensitive thing, and so it listens to the brain signal, which is actually quite quiet in comparison to a lot of other electrical signals. So just moving will create noise as well, electrical noise. So some people call this the laziest instrument in the world because you just lay back and use as few muscles as possible.
While you're hooking me up, can you tell me what does the encephalophone do?
We're very specifically measuring your imagining movement, and we're using that as a signal to raise and lower the pitch, musical pitch.
What happens when I think about movement?
When you think about movement, so what we're looking at is part of your motor cortex. When you're just sitting there doing nothing but you're awake, that part of your motor cortex has a pattern, and that pattern is there all the time if you're awake, but not doing anything. And then when you go to move your arm, in this case we're going to be having you think about your right arm moving. And when you go and you move your right arm, that part of the brain, the motor cortex, gets engaged. And that pattern goes away. So that pattern's kind of like a holding pattern. It's ready to go, but not doing anything. And then as soon as you start engaging that part of your brain, that signal goes away. So I can measure you using that part of your brain and then not using that part of your brain. If you go and you move your right arm, that pattern goes away. I can see that switch off. But if you think about moving, it also goes away. So you don't have to actually move, you can think about moving.
Am I going to be thinking about music, about pitch, or just thinking about moving my arm and then you turn that into music?
You're going to be thinking about moving your arm and we're going to turn that into music. However, just like
I was hoping to think, you know, to think of Girl from Ipanema and have it, you know,
have it come right out. And that would be fantastic. I wish we could do that. But in a way, you'll indirectly be thinking about music just like you would any other instrument. So if you had never seen a piano before and I showed you a piano, you would start to learn it by movements and thinking about movement of your hand. And you'd say, I'm going to push this note and then see what it does. And you're not thinking as much about the notes. You're mostly thinking about the mechanics of it. But once you learn and you become, say, a concert pianist or something, you're no longer thinking about the movements. They come automatically. You think about music, and it's the same kind of learning curve.
Why are you so interested in music being the thing that I produce with my brain signals?
I had seen other people and artists trying to take EEG signal and turn it into music before, and just they simply didn't do it right. And I was a musician who was interested in this, so it started off sort of more like a art project. But as I started to develop it and it started to work, I realized it could be used in some of my work with patients. I deal with stroke patients all the time, patients with motor disability. They've lost the ability to move. I thought it would be great to bring the ability to make music again to people who had lost the ability. So someone who played the violin and no longer could play the violin because they've had a stroke or a spinal cord injury could make music again. So I thought that would be pretty neat. So that was one motivator. Another motivator is that the feedback that music provides, it's very powerful. We know a lot more about the power of music to motivate people and to get people to really focus on all types of tasks. And so my hope is that I'll be able to take this and not only have them play music, but eventually use it to help motivate them, get them better at controlling things with their mind, if you will, with their brain, and then use that to help them with their motor disability eventually, starting with music and then moving it on to other things.
Should we give it a whirl?
Let's give it a whirl. So the image you want in your head is one of your right arm. Mm-hmm. Right here, you can actually do it. Just opening and closing your hand like this.
Okay, like I'm doing now?
Yep.
Okay.
And that will generate a low note. And when you stop, you'll generate a high note.
Briefly, for the layperson, why does my clenching and unclenching my hand and thinking about that, why is that generating a low note and then I stop and it's a high note?
Imagining pulling the note down, you know, that's one way to kind of tie the two together, the music and the movement. Like, I'm going to bring it down and then I'm going to let it go and just let it drift up. And now I'm going to pull it down. That's
all right. So if I'm thinking musically, I want to lower the note, I'm going to think pull that note down.
Yeah.
Not let it go and let it float.
And so the way we start is we start with a calibration. So we need to calibrate the instrument to each person in each session. And basically we'll set it to your brain, how your brain does that. Thinking about opening and closing that right hand. We'll turn on the free play.
Okay.
So you'll just hear a note coming out every half second, so to a second.
I'm ready for my audition.
So that's you now. Try to go high. That's the high note you hit for a second.
Walk us through what we just heard.
Yeah, so you're hearing basically the last 500 milliseconds, half second of the signal of your brain turned into a note. So it's an average of what you were doing over the last half second. And that may not sound like a whole lot of time, but you can change things fairly rapidly in that time.
This is my kindergarten solo.
Exactly.
In the Lion King, you know, I mean, I have a ways to go.
Yeah, I've likened it to giving a monkey a toy piano.
I thought I could detect a little bit when I was going down and when I was going up, but it was kind of hard to hear. How much, honestly, could you detect that I was having any control over high and low notes?
Our initial experiments that we just published a paper about a few weeks ago in Frontiers in Human Neuroscience, and it was a series of experiments, carefully controlled scientific experiments, not like this, to prove that people could have some control. And what we chose were novices, like you, just in this kind of session, people who we gave 5 minutes of training on, no more, and then we had them try to match notes, and they were able to do that with some accuracy. So it's not crazy to take a total novice and have some control. Not incredible control. I think our average was around 65% or something, but that's for first timers. If you keep training, you keep coming back and doing this, you'll get better and better.
If I quit my job, would you pay me a stipend so that I could feed my family and just get better on the encephalophone?
You know, I could use some funding. So anyone out there who, I'd be happy to pay this guy to do that.
I want to make this thing sing, people. Let's make some music.
We do have a backing track for you. So I think we should let you play live along with the backing track, and you can just kind of improvise. See what you can do.
That is Bill Radke's brain playing the encephalophone. That instrument is the creation of Dr. Thomas Duell, and the backing track is by composer, conductor, and visual artist Marcin Pekowski. We'll be tweeting out contact info for Dr. Duell if you'd like to get in touch with him and try the encephalophone yourself.